Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Welcome to House New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is our 2016 real estate market forecast for Brooklyn with our special guest Charles D'Alessandro from Fillmore Real Estate. Stay tuned for Bob.
Lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe, and now here's our host, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome everyone to How's New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing. Tonight we have as our guest Charles D'Alessandro, otherwise known as Charles the Brooklyn Realtor. Charles is a vice president in the real estate firm of Fillmore Real Estate. And we're going to pick Charles's brain to see what his predictions are for 2016. And welcome, Charles, to the show, and thank you for coming on.
Hello, Robert. Hello, Jason. How are you?
We're doing great, Charles. So, Charles, it's the beginning of a new real estate year.
Amen
or hallelujah, I don't know which. But we figured we'd pick on a few of our friends, you being one of them, to
Thank
look
you.
Into your crystal ball and tell us and our listeners what you think 2016 is going to hold for everybody. And, of course, I guess interest rates topic, you know, everybody says, well, where are they going to go? We've been hearing this for about 4 years now. And if you want to start off talking about your forecast on interest rates or anything else, go ahead.
You know, I had said something to someone the other day, and well, I forget what we were talking about, and he says, who knows what tomorrow brings? I don't think anyone really knows. We've been talking about rising interest rates. I remember you said hallelujah when the interest rates dropped below 8% or hit 8%. We thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. It was, wow, 8%. Now we're hovering around 4, you know, and people some people are still on the fence and still thinking, should I buy, shouldn't I buy? And we keep on saying the interest rates aren't going to last, and they stay around. Well, we know they can't last. It can't stay low like this forever. And cost of housing is going to always be up. I mean, Brooklyn, it's amazing. Anywhere you go, Brooklyn, you know, and it seems to be the prices keep going up as well. Robert, you know, I mean, interest rates, what will they do?
Yeah, well, we've
they're going to have to go up sooner or later.
They do have to go up a little. Of course, some of our listeners may not remember the 80s when interest rates were in the 14, 15, 16% range. But now, you know, we're bumping along with people are getting stressed. Is it going to go to 4%? I'm still closing deals at 3.5%, 3.75%. And people
that's
are
like
getting
free money, Rob.
It is free money. Yes, go out and get it. It's out there to get. You know, the payback on a loan where you have 3 or 4% interest rates is almost nothing. It's sort of like almost like 0%, like the car dealerships you know offer all the time.
For the sake of honesty,
yes.
I went and got a mortgage myself. It's just I didn't have a mortgage for years, but at 3.5%, it's like you know. It's ridiculous.
You're really just paying back principal. It's the interest,
yeah, especially if you want to get an investment or something, or some people are getting ready for retirement maybe, and they need some income, and they have a free, clear house. You know, there's things to do with that too.
Yeah.
You know, investment-wise, and you know, and it's not going to last the rates and the prices and the prices. As much as we keep saying, I just closed on a house in Midwood. In fact, it was featured in the Wall Street Journal at one time a couple of months ago, New York Times. Here in Midwood, the house previously we had sold for $825,000. This house was a corner house, maybe a little bit bigger, and it's just closed a couple of days ago for $940,000. This is inside 5 months of closing time. $940,000. Did I say $940,000? Yeah. $940,000, and realty houses in Marine Park are going for record numbers now. We're at that record. Every sale is a record number now.
Yes.
And it's exciting, but it's scary too. So who knows what tomorrow brings? I think what's happening is Manhattan is pushing us along because people are leaving Manhattan, coming to this new place called Brooklyn. I guess you know. From all over the country, actually, and it's amazing.
Yes, Brooklyn is a good global term nowadays. Charles, are you finding that interest rates are having any effect on your buyers? Are they, you know, we're almost into year four of, you know, low interest rates, and there's always the rattle that they may go up a tick or two. But do you see that having any effect on your buyers? Are they jumping now into the market before something rises, or are they saying, it's not going to go up that much, if any, you know, I can still hang around? What do you think your clients are saying?
Well, some, you know, it's what was it, Sky Was Falling? What was that?
Chicken Little.
And we've been threatening for so long. There are people who realize that it will go up eventually, and people who are, we're also in a position where prices are going up, too. And where a first-time home buyer basically is a $500,000 house in most neighborhoods, it's still the price is still there. You know what I mean? It's still there. It's the interest. I don't think people correlate that, saying, well, the interest rates are low and they're not going to go up too fast. But incomes and qualifications for the mortgages is still tight. You know, you get a working class couple who's going to buy a house, it's still a high price, you know, the price and the interest rates. So they're still being cautious as far as that.
It does. And let's talk about it from a different angle. Your sellers, are your sellers saying, let me hold out a little while longer, it's going to get better, or let me grab this before interest rates jump and maybe my my selling price becomes stagnant or drops a little? What is the seller's psychology in this market?
Well, you know, so I was thinking about that the other day. The stock market is a mad, wild roller coaster ride, and for those of us who are hitting our 60s, 50s, late 50s, early 60s, if all you have is your house as your nest egg, and you have a little bit of a 401k or a retirement fund, it's taking that roller coaster ride again, and some people can't take that hit. So if you have your house, you want to cash in, and there are people who are doing that, and they're moving. I just came from down south. My kids had moved down to South Carolina, more affordable. A lot of people are starting to leave Brooklyn and take cash in. For those who can't leave Brooklyn, there really isn't anywhere to go. You know, if they sell their house, where do I go? And I think that's we're getting a lot of that. With kids are moving back in their houses, you know, their parents' house. The parents are taking care of them, even married couples and families. So it's really stagnating the market. There's not a lot on the market for those buyers and for the for there, and that's what's driving our market right now.
And
what's driving the market. And the sellers, okay, I can get a lot of money for my house. If I want to stay in Brooklyn and get a lot of money for my house, where would I move to? I think that's a big problem for sellers. Where do I go? You know, where can I go? You know, and because everything's expensive, and the neighborhoods I want to live in are all high priced, and the market's competitive there also. So I think that's slowing us down as far as and keeping the prices up.
Yeah, I guess if you're a seller and are looking maybe to retire and have a house upstate, Jersey, down south, they're probably anxious to jump into the market. But if
yes.
you're just a seller moving around the New York City metropolitan area, you're really just selling one high-priced house and buying another high-priced house somewhere and maybe not even doing better than what you got.
If you have a house that's worth $500,000-$600,000 and you're going to buy a condo, your condo is going to cost you almost that of any size in Brooklyn. And rent, you know about rents as far as that. And if your children are here in Brooklyn or in the local area, then you're not really leaving anywhere, and there's nowhere to go.
Right. So I guess that's keeping a few houses off the market. Is that drives the market? Is there a shortage of inventory?
Major shortage of inventory. Most neighborhoods, a good house. See, I'll have Marine Park. You have 25 buyers for looking for the same product. Midwood, same thing. Midwood, it may be the $600,000 range, right? 600, one family, 600 to 650 in that range. Just a first-time home buyer's one family in Midwood, basically, right? And there's 35 people looking for it. So when one comes up and it's reasonably priced in decent condition, you know, next, somebody who's willing to jump jumps, and then you have another 25 buyers looking for that same type of house. They're all looking in that same range. There are, like, ranges that are popular. And that goes downtown as well. I mean, you know, people want to spend between $1.1 million and $1.5 million. And something comes up, it's in really good shape, it sells, and then there's nothing else out there to show these people. So, you know, it makes it kind of tough.
And how about, so when a house comes on a market, is there sort of a frenzy to get in there? I know some of my clients
yes.
are telling me they want to get in before it even gets listed. And some, even as they're going into contract, always say to me, Mr. Howe, are you sure I'm going to get this house? And I say, well, what are you worried about? They said, well, the competition is so fierce, we lost out on about 10 other properties. We want to make sure we get onto this. It's almost desperation trying to buy something, trying to spend your $500,000 to $1 million.
I've had people who've in the same situation, and they come and they beg me, please don't put me through that again. And if you're a listing agent, your fiduciary relationship is with the seller. You try to be fair to the whole deal. but the seller's trying to get as much as they can. And, you know, what it used to be where you'd say, well, don't get into a bidding war, you're going to lose that. Well, sellers don't lose bidding wars anymore because they don't have to worry about losing their buyers because there's another buyer right behind it, especially if it's reasonably priced. And that's really what's happening. You know, once a house it's set for contract, then all of a sudden buyers say, wait, what do you mean it's gone? I'll offer more. And then, you know, as a relationship with your seller, you have to, you know, bring it to them. And how do you stop it?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon that's going on. A lot of different market forces, you know, going on. A lot of psychology going on.
There's one other thing. When buyers come along, I have buyers say, well, I have a pre-approval that's from June or whatever, and they have good credit and all that. And they're not really, I mean, they're ready, but they're not prepared. So if a buyer's going to look for a house today in a hot market, what they should do is they should speak to their mortgage person and do everything they possibly can to get them right to the edge of ready to, almost like a cash buyer, that everything's ready. All you need is the house. And once you have the house, you could promise quick closing. I mean, you have to throw things into there. You have to make yourself better than the next person somehow, or appear better to the next person. You know, make it interesting to the seller. Where if you say, well, you start throwing conditions in, like, well, I need 3 months to close or 4 months to close, and I need this and I need that. The more conditions you put into that purchase, the harder it's going to be for you to compete in that market.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's interesting. You're saying you almost have to make yourself like a cash buyer. I had a client the other day who was going into contract, said to me, Mr. Howe, I have a commitment already. I said, you can have a commitment. You probably have a pre-approval. He says, no, I have a commitment. And I bumped into the mortgage broker, Frank McCallie from Citibank, and he says, no, he's got a commitment already. So
yes, they're out there.
My client is ready. Is beyond the pre-approval stage. He's ready to jump. He needs a contract, a title search, and he's ready to close. And I've had other buyers come to me and say, well, Mr. Howe, I had the highest offer, but they took someone that they felt was more qualified. So I guess sellers are looking beyond just the high price to see, you know, is this person beyond pre-qualified? Are they ready to not only pull the trigger, but you know, put up another target? So it's really moving pretty rapidly.
See, sellers are, they're, I don't know how to say this properly. Sellers are actually on the sidelines with the brokers in the middle, and the sellers are, you know, and there are some very good brokers out there who will disclose everything to the sellers and give them the whole picture and let the sellers make a decision where is what should be done. And the more information you can give, the more forthcoming you can be with that seller, to the seller, give them as much information as you possibly can. Now, the other thing is, you know, we're talking about commitments, Robert, but you're a lawyer, and if I called you up and I says I wanted your buyer to come with no mortgage, without a mortgage contingency, you'd say, are you nuts? I'm not going to risk their down payment. That's another
Absolutely.
Slippery slope that we're on. How far do you go with that all-cash mentality if you don't have the cash in hand and something could happen? So there's that, too. So you have to be able to explain it the proper way or be presented as it's enticing, but also have protection for yourself. So anyone who's doing that should speak to their lawyer about how that's going to be done.
Yeah, many times I've had buyer clients who have overrepresented themselves, and then by the time they get to me and I have to explain to the other side, well, it's really not all cash. We're still getting a mortgage. You know, the deal gets, you know, a little sour smelling, but
you're not being honest sometimes.
Exactly. In Manhattan, though, a lot of people are doing no contingencies. It's sort of like playing at the high-stakes table down in Atlantic City. Over here,
As long as you can back it up, it's got to be backed up.
But you know the vagaries of the mortgage market also. You know, you do get a commitment, but it has 10 conditions, and it's always subject to the bank, re-reviewing it the night before the closing. So,
well, a buyer can control that. A buyer can control most of it, because most of the conditions are. A lot of times, the conditions, as you know, are tickets and judgments and things like
right.
that they have to clear up to clarify who they are, income verifications and all that. So if they take the time and really sit down with a mortgage person that they can trust and somebody who's been, it's funny, 2016, this is my 30th year, and, you know, we've seen all sorts of things, Robert, and you have to get, you know, you have to set up your own team as a buyer, as a seller. Sellers, the first question they ask is, how much your commission? How much am I going to get? And they don't even, they should want to know the qualifications of the person that they're entering into this situation with.
Correct.
Same thing with a buyer. Your team is your team. You have to trust your team. And that means getting a mortgage person that you feel you can trust. They may not always tell you what you want to hear, but they're trustworthy, and they're going to do the right thing for you, and they know what they're doing. They know the ins and outs of the business on both sides. And I find that a lot of times people hire a lawyer who's not a real estate lawyer. I've had people who've never done real estate in their lives, but they went to college with them. You know, get a team that you can trust who know what they're doing, and a deal will go smoothly, and everybody will be happy at the end, and that's what you're looking for. But a mortgage person that you can trust, give them all the information you have and get as close to a cash situation as you possibly can. And then you could promise closing in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Just get it. Once it's with the lawyer who knows what they're doing, they're not going to risk you. They're not going to put you out there, but they know how to put it on the line.
Yes.
And that'll save you money and time.
Charles,
you want.
We're going to switch gears. Preparation, of course, is what we're talking about now. Let's switch gears. I'm looking at your blog page on BrooklynRealEstateSales.com, and you have a topic here, New Brooklyn Trend, Brand New Townhomes That Reflect the Past. Do you want to talk about that for a few minutes?
Yeah, I mean, people are looking to the past and trying to blend it in. The hipster buyers these days, you know, they want to keep the past and still, you know, and move forward. Hurry up. What do they say? Hurry up and slow down something
right.
like that. But basically that's and designer home type of things, that's basically where that's going.
They want a bit of nostalgia and a little bit of character in what they're in.
And the years that they ripped them all out, right, Rob?
Yes, get that clawed foot tub out of here, and let's put sheetrock over that brick wall and tin ceilings. Oh, my God, there's a rust spot. Let's rip that out and put and drop ceilings down and fluorescent lights. But
now we're going back again, you know.
And now we're back. Charles, you know, how about neighborhoods? I mean, we all know the Williamsburg, Bushwicks, that whole L train thing going on there. What other neighborhoods are hot, or are they all hot?
They're all hot. A couple of weeks ago, the Wall Street Journal called me up, and they were asking me about Midwood. Midwood and East Flatbush are butt up against each other. And then you have Dimmitt's Park, Brooklyn College. And you march on down to downtown. Downtown's a rock's throw away. So, you know, you've heard the expression, all ships rise and fall with the tide, right? So what's happening is as the market, and, you know, years ago, in 30 years ago, you went to Carroll Gardens, people said, I don't know if I want to go over there. You know, it's like kind of ratty over there and whatever. And so what happened was, it started marching down Williamsburg and then Bushwick, and now we're in East New York, and you know it's just there are no cool neighborhoods. Canarsie is starting to come around too, and you know, people are finding Canarsie again, which is really great. And I'm in Midwood, and Midwood is predominantly, it's a Jewish community. It's been, but now what's happening is people are starting to discover that we're close to the train, close to transportation, and we're getting a lot of people exploring. So what they're doing is they're starting to explore the areas and see where they are and what's going on there, and we're getting a new batch of buyers coming in.
And in terms of what we talked about, communities, how about things with new construction and condos versus houses? What are condos ever catching on in Brooklyn? Is there room for them?
Go look at Sheepshead Bay.
Yes.
Sheepshead Bay, they took down the diner over there, and they're building over there. I mean, everywhere you look in Sheepshead Bay, they're building. Erskine, they built some, right? They're building over there. They're building everywhere. It depends on what your priority is, I guess. Being close to the city, you know, one fair zones have its pluses, but then two fair zones aren't so bad. Marine Park's a beautiful neighborhood, family style neighborhood. It's a two fair zone. But you take the King's Highway, the bus, and it's not far from there. So they're starting to, you know, I did a bicycle race. Brooklyn had a bicycle race a few months ago, actually the summertime. And I volunteer the Marine Park Alliance for Marine Park. I volunteer. In fact, my wife and I created it. And we were helping the bikers by feeding them juice boxes and fruit and all sorts of stuff. And a lot of the bikers were the hipsters. We call them hipsters, I guess. Is that proper? Can I say that?
I guess it's still kind of politically correct.
Yeah.
I don't think
you never know what you could say about anything anymore. So it's,
exactly.
You know, so they're biking through thousands of bikers, thousands in Marine Park. Marine Park was really lively and going. And people were getting off their bicycles and asking me, where is this? It's like almost Wizard of Oz. Are we in Oz here? What is this? You know, they don't know. A lot of these people came in from other places and they planted themselves wherever they planted themselves. And they never explored Brooklyn. So now they're discovering Coney Island, right?
Yeah.
Coney Island. We have a beach. So they go to the beach. Rockaways. The Rockaways are mobbed in the summer. You know, so people start. They're starting to discover all over Brooklyn. So that's trending also.
And, Charles, we only have a couple minutes left, so why don't we conclude with
a... Did that answer your question? I'm sorry. I hope I...
You did, yes.
Yeah.
I see also on your website, brooklynrealestateblog.com, two topics, best time to buy, best time to sell. Why don't we end the show with your thoughts on best time to buy, best time to sell?
Like we spoke in the beginning, interest rates are really low. $100,000 costs you $400 a month or so. I mean, I don't know exact numbers in front of me, but it's $400 a month. Now, rents are on their way up. If you could find a three-bedroom apartment, you're talking about $2,000 and up, depending on what neighborhood you're in. Now, if you go by that, you can afford a $300,000 mortgage for the same price as you can get a two- or three-bedroom apartment, you know, in some areas of Brooklyn. So it's the best time to buy because I don't think it's ever going to be better in Brooklyn. I don't think it's ever going to be. For the sellers, you have to determine yourself what's best for you, okay? What stage of life are you at, and where are you going? So if you want to buy up, it's kind of tough right now. You know, if you're looking to buy from one neighbor to the next, you're going to have to spend more money. But is it ever going to be better? Again, the prices are going to continue to go up. And if you own a house here in Brooklyn, you may keep up with the market, but you're not going to surpass it because it's just going to keep going. You're always going to be in the same position. So you just have to determine where you are in life and where you want to be.
Well, very, very well put. And we're at the end of our show now, Charles, how fast a half hour goes. But I think we talked about a lot of topics. You're very proficient. Where can our listeners find you if they want to follow up with further real estate issues?
Well, I work for Fillmore Real Estate. I work with Fillmore Real Estate. As you know, I call myself Charles the Brooklyn Realtor. You can go to my website. It's charlesthebrooklynrealtor.com. Or you can go to my blog, as you so kindly mentioned, brooklynrealestateblog.com. And basically, I'm all around. I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere. I do blogs all the time. If anyone would like to do a blog, for me to do a blog on a subject or something like that, or do some research, I'm more than glad to do that. You can find me on my websites, or charlesthebrooklynrealtor@gmail.com is my email address.
Well, Charles, we appreciate you being on, and maybe we'll touch base in the middle of the year and see how some of our discussions have panned out, and we definitely enjoyed having you on as a guest.
You know, one more thing. I mean, you asked about a crystal ball. I remember Netflix was at $62 a share, and he says, you know something, the market crashed, and he says, Netflix, people are going to stay home and watch movies, not going to go to movie theaters? We should buy that. Now, I didn't buy that because I said, I probably don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is now, but it's way more than $62. Real estate has never gone down in Brooklyn, and it's not going to go down. So if you're buying, do yourself a favor. Take a good research. Get a good mortgage broker. Build your team and buy a house.
Yes. Well, Charles, we're not going to rely on you for stock market tips, but for real estate, you're one of the men.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Great, Charles. Thanks.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio show. Thanks to Charles D'Alessandro for sharing with us his thoughts about 2016 real estate, and basically his thought for the purchaser was get a good team, be prepared, and that's a message both for real estate and maybe all of life. And we thank Charles for sharing his insight with us. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I'm your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.